From Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, we find what some would recall as the first recorded hymn of the early church. As we hear these words, let us see specifically the movement of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not recall it. Equality with God is something to be held on to. But he came down for a purpose, and that purpose was the redemption of your life and my life as well. Let us look at this passage of Scripture. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly honored him and gave him a name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth and under the earth might bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Amen.
So we've begun Holy Week, and Holy Week is really an invitation for us to walk with Jesus. Today we walk with Jesus into Jerusalem as the crowds wave palm branches and shout, Hosanna. This Wednesday evening at 6:30, we'll have our 29th annual Passion Play led by our children, our youth, our adults. We will walk with Jesus through the events leading up to his suffering and death and resurrection. This Thursday evening at 7, we will walk with Jesus again as we gather here around the Lord's table and remember how he instructed his disciples that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember what I've done for you. This Friday at noon, we will walk with Jesus as well. Last year, for the first time, a group from our church gathered on Good Friday, and we walked through the neighborhoods not far from here. We prayed for the fire stations, the police stations, and others. And this year, we will join with churches throughout Mechanicsburg for the walk. As you can see in your bulletin, there are 6 different locations where people will gather and meet, and from there we will saturate this Mechanicsburg community in prayer. Now, this past week, Pastor Lane Lebo and his staff from Mechanicsburg Brethren in Christ put together a video about this event. And when I saw it, I said, Lane, this is so good. We're going to show it at the United Methodist Church, too, this Sunday. So take a look at this and celebrate the unity that we have in Christ.
Last spring, some of my friends who pastor in Dillsburg told me that 12 churches were joining together on the National Day of Prayer for a service of prayer and worship. I was excited for them, but a bit envious because I didn't see that kind of partnership happening in Mechanicsburg. But a lot's happened over the past year. In November, 19 pastors representing 12 different denominations met together for lunch and a time of building relationships and talking about ways we might collaborate. Over the past year, we've seen churches collaborate in hosting a community dinner with Broad Street School, in holding a ceremony honoring first responders on 911, partnering together in Community Day to provide free swimming for the community, and then just recently, 14 pastors met with administrators from the Mechanicsburg School District to talk about ways we might partner together in helping avoid teen suicides and teen violence. I'm really excited about some of the partnerships that are happening, and I'm really excited about an event that's going to be happening on Good Friday. Churches all over Mechanicsburg are joining together with the goal of prayer walking our entire community. We've identified 6 host sites: Trindle Spring Lutheran, First United Methodist, Mechanicsburg Presbyterian, Turning Point, Mechanicsburg Church of the Brethren, and Trinity Evangelical Lutheran. And for people who aren't able to walk or prefer not to, Pastor Tracy Connor will be holding a prayer service at noon at the First Church of God on the square in Mechanicsburg. Our vision is that people will meet at these 6 or 7 host churches, and that they'll get some instruction and then spend about an hour prayer walking the entire community, each of them prayer walking in their area. And then we'll come together at 1:15, from 1:15 to 1:30. We'll meet at the First Church of God in Mechanicsburg for a time of closing prayer and refreshments. I hope you'll be a part of this wonderful day. Even if you're not one of the host churches, I invite you to join us. McVic's not one of the host churches because we're not located in the borough, but I'm encouraging people from our church to join at one of these sites so that together we can pray that God's will be done on earth here in Mechanicsburg as it is in heaven. I hope you'll consider joining us on Good Friday. Thanks.
It has been such a joy over this past year to see God moving in our community, breaking down the walls that often divide us in different parts of the Christian community, and calling us as one to witness for Christ in Mechanicsburg and in this area. You'll find in your bulletin this morning a bookmark and a postcard related to this Good Friday prayer walk. I would invite you to plan to be part of this great event, and also to share one of these with a friend and invite them to come along as well, as prayerfully we lift up our community in the name of Jesus. You know, last year we had quite a good response to our prayer walk, and I'm excited to see what God has in store for us as we work together in the name of Christ. You know, those who follow Jesus often refer to their life as a walk. And walking with the Lord is not just about a physical prayer walk, but walking with the Lord is really about a relationship, and it's about a lifestyle. And as you can see there in the teaching notes this morning, under number 1, it says, walking with Jesus deepens our relationship with Jesus and transforms us. And what I want to ask this morning is, if you are walking with Jesus, are you walking with Jesus in a way that it's deepening your relationship with Him? Are you walking with Jesus in a way that is changing your life to become more like His? You know, if you were among the disciples of Jesus during His earthly ministry, you would have done a lot of walking, because Jesus walked everywhere He went. And I believe that if you got up alongside of Jesus and you walked with Him for a while along the dusty roads of Palestine, you would make some remarkable discoveries that would change your life. Here in Philippians 2, in this ancient hymn of the church, the Apostle Paul helps us to imagine what we would learn if we would walk with Jesus. One thing we would learn, first of all, is that Jesus walked with compassion. Jesus walked with compassion. The late devotional writer Henry Nouwen defined compassion like this: compassion asks us to go where it hurts, to enter places of pain, to share in brokenness, fear, confusion, and anguish. Compassion challenges us to cry out with those in misery, to mourn with those who are lonely, to weep with those in tears. Compassion requires us to be weak with the weak, vulnerable with the vulnerable, and powerless with the powerless. Compassion means full immersion in the condition of being human. Reading these words of Henry Nouwen reminds me of what it looked like for Jesus to walk with compassion. Jesus always went where it hurt. He always entered into people's pain and shared in their brokenness. Jesus, though he was God, immersed himself in our human condition. It's noteworthy on Palm Sunday that Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem. Roman leaders entered cities on horseback, riding above the crowds. And horses are big and strong and fast and powerful and intimidating. And the Romans would ride horses into the city to disperse the crowds and to keep order. And the Roman military horses were bred to race into battle and to defeat an enemy. When someone is up on a horse with armor on, you know who is in charge. But Jesus, King Jesus, rode on a donkey. Now, donkeys are short and slow moving. They're bred to carry heavy loads along narrow roads and up mountain paths. A man on a donkey, that's not intimidating at all. For one thing, Jesus was riding on a donkey, we're told, to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy. The prophet Zechariah declared once that God's Messiah would come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, much as some kings of Israel had before him. Jesus on a donkey is a sign for us of who he is as God's Messiah. But there's something more, I think. On a donkey, Jesus was down in the crowd. He was there with the weak and the vulnerable and the powerless. On a donkey, he sees even the faces of children, even the faces of those who were not able to walk, with those who once were blind or leper or lame and now were healed. He looked into the eyes of his friends and his foes. Our Messiah, riding on a donkey, walked with compassion, fully immersed in our human condition. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in the beginning of this passage that Pastor John read for you this morning. Paul calls us to follow the example of Jesus and to be a people of compassion. Listen to the first few verses again. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Someone once asked Albert Schweitzer, that great missionary doctor who left an affluent practice and went to serve the people of Africa for a lifetime. Someone once asked Albert Schweitzer to name the greatest person alive today. And Schweitzer, whom many would have said was the greatest person of their time, replied simply in this way: "The greatest person is some unknown individual in some obscure place who at this hour has gone in love to be with someone in need." Friends, we should never underestimate the power of compassion, the power of a touch, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, Even the smallest act of caring can turn someone's life around. As we walk with Jesus, we become a people of compassion. Our relationship with Jesus changes us. A second thing we discover if we were to walk with Jesus is that Jesus walked with contentment. Jesus walked with contentment. You know, there is a quiet confidence about Jesus. He's not anxious or harried. He doesn't rush from place to place. He walks through life with contentment. And it's truly remarkable when you read the Gospels that Jesus is able to do this. I mean, for one thing, Jesus was a very busy man. When you read through the Gospels and you see all the places he traveled and all the lives he touched and all the stories he told, it's amazing. At the end of John's Gospel, John writes that if every one of the things Jesus did were written down, the world itself could not contain all the volumes. Jesus accomplished more in the space of 3 years than any other person has ever accomplished before him or since him. And Jesus was not just busy. He also faced adversity. Wherever he goes, he's confronted with people that are trying to undermine his ministry. After his first sermon in his home church in Nazareth, the people were so furious with Jesus, who compared himself to God's Messiah as Isaiah looked forward to it, that they wanted to throw him over a cliff. And religious leaders, they were always twisting his words and trying to trap him in front of people to embarrass him. They would scheme every day to try to upend his ministry. And then the crowd. I mean, everywhere he went, somebody always wanted something from him. Even his own followers were often confused about who he was and why he was here. And yet, with all these enormous pressures, Jesus walked with contentment. In our passage from Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes this about Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. Now notice the phrase that's underlined in those verses, because I think it's the key to finding contentment in life. He emptied himself. In other words, the phrase he emptied himself can also be translated that Jesus was not full of himself. You know, we can get so full of ourselves. We can get so full of resentment because somebody has hurt us. So full of fear because of what's happening in this world or what's happening to our health. So full of pride because of what we've accomplished. So full of insecurity because we want everybody to love us. So full of guilt because we failed. So full of distrust of those who are different. So full of ambition because we're not content with what we have. We can get so full of ourselves. And when you're full of yourself, there is no room for the good gifts that God would give you, including the gift of peace. Jesus, Paul tells us, was empty of self. And that means that his life was not just lived for him, that he was surrendered to God, an empty vessel, ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a difficult thing, this thing of emptying oneself. To become empty and open to the Holy Spirit is something that even the great spiritual people of the world have struggled with. In fact, it's not really possible for me to empty myself of me all by myself. It only happens when I get the focus of my life in the right place. When I walk with Jesus. When I have a relationship with Jesus and am so open to His presence in my life that it changes me. Across the generations, many Christians have used this prayer called the Jesus Prayer as a way of emptying themselves so that they can be surrendered to God's grace. And the Jesus Prayer is simply this. Have any of you heard this prayer? It's simply this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let's repeat that together this morning, the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Some use that prayer as a way of helping them to focus during their daily devotional time, repeating, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Some use it while they're driving or waiting for an appointment or taking a walk through the neighborhood, repeating that prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, takes the attention off of ourselves and puts it on to Jesus. Now, I have to confess that there have been times over the years when I have found myself repeating that prayer when I'm in the midst of a meeting with other people. And instead of putting my own name in there, I often lift up the names of the others who are around the table with me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on Pastor John. And I usually leave out the last two words when I say it that way. But it draws me closer to the people I'm with and helps me to focus on Jesus. And the Jesus Prayer is one of many ways that we can walk with Jesus, one of many practices that can help us to be so focused on Jesus that we begin to empty ourselves, to empty our own agenda so that we can be surrendered to His. And as we do, we discover contentment. Jesus walked with compassion. Jesus walked with contentment. And then there is this one more thing that we would see if we were walking with Jesus. And this is the one that we're especially reminded of as we enter this Holy Week. Jesus walked with conviction. Jesus had a clear picture of what He was put on this earth to do, and there was nothing, not even the cross of Calvary, that would keep Him from focusing on it. You know, Jesus must have been physically strong. He was a young man. And He worked with His hands up until the age of 30 when His ministry started. And during the course of His ministry, we think about the many, many miles He covered on foot, walking in the desert, along dusty roads, rocky roads, up steep mountains. He was physically active and physically fit. And nowhere, though, is the strength of Jesus more evident than during the events that unfolded this Holy Week. Strength to endure a beating with 39 lashes, strength to have a crown of thorns pressed on his brow, strength to carry a rugged cross, strength to face a mocking crowd, strength to be stretched out on a cross, his hands and feet pierced with nails, strength to endure 3 excruciating hours. Jesus was physically strong. But the real strength of Jesus was not seen in his physique. He had a more important kind of strength. And the strength that is available to every one of us when we walk with Jesus, it was the strength of his character, his conviction to be the person that God had created him to be. Paul writes about this in the next part of this passage. He says, when he found himself in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus never wandered from the path he was called to walk, obedient to God's mission, even to the cross. God's mission of love for you, for me, for the whole world, a criminal's death, to save sinners like us. Jesus walked with conviction. And this is important because you and I know that walking with Jesus takes strength. It takes conviction. It's not easy to go the extra mile, to turn the other cheek, to give your coat and your cloak also, to witness for peace in this world. It takes strength to follow the call, to face the storm, to trust God's promises when times are tough. It takes strength, conviction, to set apart time in a busy life for prayer, to join in fellowship with other believers in a world that often turns away from the church, to claim Sunday morning as God's time, as worship time, conviction. It takes strength to live a holy life in an age that is so enamored with money and sex and power. Strength. If you are walking with Jesus from day to day, you know it's true. It's not an easy walk that you're on. Jesus walked with conviction, and where did it lead him? To the cross. As it says in number 5, we walk with Jesus not just to observe his lifestyle. We walk with Jesus to make his lifestyle our own. Paul instructs us in verse 5, adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Jesus, who walked with compassion and contentment and conviction, wants us to become like him. Now, the good news is this. It's Jesus that wants to walk with us. At the end of this passage, in the verses that I did not include in the notes, Paul declares that Jesus is Lord of all. And if we walk with Jesus, we will join with him in transformation. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death. But then Paul continues, therefore God highly honored him and gave him the name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth might bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. you know, if you walk with the one whose name is above all names, if you walk with the one before whom everyone will bow in worship, if you walk with the one whom every tongue will confess as Lord, it changes you. When you walk with the Lord Jesus, you learn compassion and you find contentment and you're filled with conviction. Oh, that we could be a people, as we embark on this Holy Week, who would walk with Jesus, not just in church on Sunday morning, not just on the big days of Palm Sunday and Easter, but that we would walk with Jesus every day. Oh, that we could be a people who could declare, as the psalmist did in one of our daily readings of this past week. This is our memory verse for this week, and I invite us to repeat it together and then to take it with us. Are you ready? Psalm 119:97. I love your instruction. I think about it constantly. I love your instruction, Jesus. Let me think about it constantly. And let my life, Lord, let my life be transformed as I grow closer to you.